O my cherished servants, Muhammad the Messenger, may Allah bless him and grant him peace, once transmitted these words directly from the Most High. O my cherished servants, as I have made injustice unlawful for me, so I have made it unlawful for you. Be not unjust. O my cherished servants, all of you are wandering astray, except the ones whom I have guided. Ask me to guide, and I will guide you. O cherished servants, all of you are hungry, except those whom I have fed. Ask me to feed you, and I will feed you. O cherished servants, all of you are naked, except those whom I have clothed. Ask me to clothe you, and I will clothe you. O servants, indeed you are erring night and day, yet I forgive all offenses. Ask me to forgive, and I will forgive you. O servants, although you may think you are doing harm to me through your negative actions, no harm can reach me. Although you may imagine you are benefiting me through your good deeds, these acts of yours cannot add the least particle of goodness to my own overflowing goodness. O servants, even if the entire spectrum of intelligent beings, from the first of you to the last of you, from human beings to beings on subtle planes, possess the heart of the most evolved ones among you, this would add nothing to my kingdom. O servants, even if all intelligent beings from first to last possess the heart of the most rebellious ones among you, this would take away nothing from my kingdom. O servants, if all intelligent beings, visible and invisible, gathered together and demanded their most sublime wishes from me, and I granted every one of them, this would in no way diminish the treasures that are with me, any more than a needle dipped in the ocean would decrease the ocean. O cherished servants, I take account of your deeds only according to their subtle inner intentions, and it is according to these intentions that I will fully reward you. O my cherished servants, those who see goodness all around them are opening their entire being to the praise of Allah. Those who find other than the good can blame only themselves. This hadith comes from the transmission of the noble companion Abu Dar. May Allah be pleased with him. So, is there anyone who'd like to say anything about, or who feels some, I mean, not forced to say, but more of a spontaneous response to this hadith, which is the number one hadith, which is truly the majestic, it's the Jalal, the Ghani, but also the Rahman, the Hadi, the Adil, the Just.
May I say something?
Yeah.
He calls everyone my servant.
Yeah. Right, that's very important. Right, so the mu'min. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, that's our state of servanthood and Allah's state of Lord. This is the archetypal, or you might say quintessential, teaching on servant and Lord. And when we look to a Lord from our servanthood, this is what we should look to. So it's to interesting that it begins with justice, you know, and as it, justice is a very important element of this path, and it's stressed many times over in the Quran, justice. And so from the very beginning, that is that Allah states that I have made it unlawful. What a beautiful way of speaking it. I have made it unlawful. Just as I have, inscribed mercy. Allah says that about the mercy, about the rahmat, about the Rahman. I have inscribed mercy for myself. So it means that Allah is beyond that, of course. Allah is the one who can determine and will that that he will be the all-merciful, you know, or that he is also, of course, but on the level of manifestation, that's the inscribe. I have inscribed means that's what I manifest. And I have made injustice unlawful for me. Isn't that amazing? We never think of Allah as belonging to any law. It would be interesting to see the Arabic name for that. And so I have made it unlawful for you. So Allah is including himself in our own, in circumscribing himself with us together, in a way, and including us. How amazing. So Allah begins with actually circumscribing himself together with us in the field of justice. And then, how amazing to learn that we're all wandering. We're all astray, which is true. I mean, some of us know that at some times, or we can feel it. It you know, becomes quite clear. But here Allah is stating this as part of our very nature. So our nature is wandering and straying. How beautiful. But therefore, our nature demands Allah's guidance. This is the play of lover and beloved, that he desires to go far and then return to himself. I mean, this is part of what we serve. We serve, you know, also that. We serve to that play of love. But we are only wandering in Allah. But the difference between wandering and not wandering, one of the differences is the awareness, is consciousness. So that you could say, you know, all of you, instead of wandering, all of you are unaware, you know, until I make you aware, or unless I make you aware. But the wandering, I feel, has a deeper meaning. Also, it's not just the negative wandering, but it's also the wandering that is creative. We wander from name to name, from attribute to attribute, you know, and constantly. And but yes, the guidance is the guidance to the essence, and so that we can, and that's what you bring up, that we can always be conscious in the essence, like, and yet still wander in a certain sense, creatively, or, you know, through manifestation. So the act of love can come about. Otherwise, we would be like the angels, you know. We would never wander, never err, except they did in the beginning in regard to, but... So we're not like that, you know. So Allah obviously desires our wandering, and to, you know, but only to be called back. And yeah, and then there's wandering on different levels of wandering. But yeah, O cherished servants, all of you are hungry, except those whom I have fed. Ask me to feed you, and I will feed you. So how do you feel about that phrase? A declaration.
I mean, like, what refers to me is, like, there says that in Quran that whichever direction you face, there is my face. Mm-hmm. Everything would perish except mm. my face. Mm. Right? My understanding is that if we see life is changing, that's not perishing. It's transforming. The only thing is perishing because we are of his essence. We have that creative part. Mentally we can create things and think that's reality. That is what perishes. Mm-hmm. What is mentally and emotionally created in our own private world, which often says that I can build the best palace in my mind, but I cannot invite you for a tea. I can build a little malt house, but I can invite you for a tea. Mm-hmm. That's why they say that your guides need to be alive. Mm-hmm. In my imagination, I can sit and talk to some saint and I think I'm getting messages. But come and sit in with Sheikha and say, no, that's not it. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You know, it's very subtle. Does it make sense what I say?
Yes, it does. And that's what the wandering is.
The wandering is very, you can wander fully consciously.
Yeah.
Because you're looking for his face. But I can wander, I mean, like, you know, everybody's seeking, somebody's seeking a better car.
Mm-hmm.
It's a seeking.
Mm-hmm.
But somebody's they're unconscious seeking, but consciously seeking to find.
Mm-hmm.
That's very different.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
One is very hit and miss, but one is yes.
Right. And that's interesting because that it brings in that element of the longing, which is, you know, the questing, the long, that's part of our nature, that never satisfied. And so exactly, if we put it on the material level, we get sick, really. But when we put it on Allah, it's something entirely different.
One of them has a feeling of oneness with everything, the other one has the deep-rooted, whether aware or not, deep-rooted separation
of
everything. One is guided by love, the other one is guided by fear.
Right.
Whether we are aware of it or not. If we are lucky, if we are aware of it, we are not lucky, we are aware of it. Unaware, then it shows up in every action, everything.
Right. Okay. So, all of you are hungry. O cherished servants, all of you are hungry, except those whom I have fed. So the more we read, the more we speak, the more clearly, the deeper we're going into these, you know, the meaning of these statements. So by the time we get to feeding, we realize, I mean, of course, material food. And if we are, you know, we're not, on an existential level, we're always hungry. You could say the body is always needing nourishment, whether it's breath or whether it's replenishment of cells, which is constantly going. I mean, we are constantly consuming what Allah has given us. But here, and it's interesting, again, a difference, the ask me. So that's it, brings in a different level. You know, maybe that the level where we ask is the level of guidance, really. Where we know whom to ask, where to turn, and that we are, you know, seen enough or guided enough to even ask. Otherwise, we don't even ask. We think that we do it. But that's also the state of servanthood, is the state of asking or, you know, requesting, asking for. Ask me to feed you, so on all levels, of course, of our being, and I will feed you. So to me, this is one of the most important elements, is the asking. I mean, for these first three, the wandering, the feeding, and then the naked. O cherished servants, all of you are naked, except those whom I have clothed. Ask me to clothe you, and I will clothe you. How beautiful. I mean, my God, how beautiful. So this is the servant-lord relationship. I mean, how tender it is. It's not, you know, like as often spoken about, you know, as something overbearing or, you know, harsh. Not at all. It actually completely guides us to tenderness and intimacy and trusting in and... you know, from the one who gives always, that all we need to do is ask. Of course, it gives without our asking. But as I said, there's an existential level where our being is always asking, you know, whether we know it or not, we're always asking. O servants, indeed you are erring night and day, yet I forgive all offenses. Ask me to forgive, and I will forgive you. Alhamdulillah. This is very important. All offenses, very, very, very important. Everything can be forgiven, or is forgiven, or... and so again, but, you know, our part, the servant part, is that part that turns to ask, is the part in need. That's what, you know, there's that beautiful Sufi statement. It says Allah has no needs except... what is it, except need? It's
need.
So we bring the need. That is, in a sense, completing that relationship. We bring the neediness. And so that's very endearing. Instead of being, like in the world, we're supposed to appear not needy. I mean, definitely, you know, you're not supposed to appear needy. Even sometimes, even with your partner or except a baby, of course, we accept neediness from babies, but already after a certain age, you know, we expect that people will be kind of taking care of themselves, and then certainly once they become adults in society, we have to look like we're totally independent and we know everything and we can do everything and we don't need anybody or anything. You know, that's how we're supposed to look out there. And of course that's totally false. But at least toward Allah we can be completely needy, and that's the appropriate way. That's the real open way to Allah, is being needy. So very important for us, so that we can be finally in our true state with our beloved. And this is an interesting one. O servants, although you may think you are doing harm to me through your negative actions, no harm can reach me. Although you may imagine you are benefiting me through your good deeds, these acts of yours cannot add the least particle of goodness to my own overflowing goodness. So what do you think of that? Although you may think you are doing harm to me through your negative actions, so what situation would that be? Or that you can take power over God, but certainly in the manifest world, yeah, by... And then the opposite, although you may imagine you are benefiting me through your good deeds, yeah. As though, you know, in fact in Quran it says that the Arabs, when they embraced Islam, it said they come as though, you know, as you come as though you're doing me a favor. I mean, it was, in a sense, from the Prophet, but really it merges into God as though doing a favor to God. So there is that level of thinking. And this is interesting too. O servants, even if the entire spectrum of intelligent beings, from the first of you to the last of you, from human beings to beings on subtle planes, possess the heart of the most evolved ones among you, this would add nothing to my kingdom. That's, I mean, that's a little surprising, actually. Because you imagine, like, if the earth or just were populated by prophets and saints, you know, so you'd think that would make the kingdom brighter or something, but not in an essential way, because the kingdom is constituted by Allah. And so, you know, the divine attributes are there just in the form that Allah manifesting them. So they don't have to all appear as prophets to make the kingdom great or to make it good. And then it says the opposite. O servants, even if all intelligent beings from first to last possess the heart of the most rebellious ones among you, this would take away nothing from my kingdom. And I assume kingdom is mulk. I mean, so that's interesting too. Very interesting. As though the kingdom then is another, you know, it's on another level than the overt kind of appearance of things. So, I mean, to me, it's the kingdom over the names, honestly. That's how I interpret this phrase. So, Allah, the essence is the, you might say, the ruler, or the who is the ruler of all the names. That's the kingdom. In a way. All right, this is just one, this can be interpreted so many different ways. And so, however those names manifest, whether they manifest in this way as a prophet or as a rebel, they're still, you know, present, those divine names.
It's interesting to me because, I mean, the creation couldn't really be any way other than what it is.
Right? I guess you could say that. That's true. That's another interesting point.
So mm-hmm. You say everybody was a prophet, it would not add to the light, but everybody's not a prophet. That's how it was made. So
right. But it does change. There are times when maybe there are more enlightened people and less, you know, it said, but otherwise there could never come the latter days when it says that, you know, there were after the last insan kamil passes, you know, then the creation will fold up.
But it's always what it's supposed to be. And
yes, at that time.
Perfect, then
right, it's perfect at that time. Right, so yeah, it's our own limited understanding of it that, you know.
Or how could you subtract or add to the all?
How could you what?
Like if the all is the all.
Yeah, how can you subtract or add? But that's true. Yeah, that's true. That's, mm-hmm. Yeah. In fact, in the next phrase, that's even pointed to even more clearly. He said, O servants, if all intelligent beings, visible and invisible, gathered together and demanded their most sublime wishes for me, and I granted every one of them, this would in no way diminish the treasures that are with me any more than a needle dipped in the ocean would decrease the ocean. So there is never any decrease, in a way, Allah is saying, to that kingdom. Right. And of course, you know, this is, it's a paradox. I mean, each one we can contemplate, and each one is almost like a koan, really, because it will trump us on a certain level, and then we have to take it deeper, and, you know, it keeps going deeper. Because how can, I mean, for the one who would see separation, let's say when you first read that, and this is true of all of these, and this is true of servant and Lord, is that, you know, on one level we can see it as duality. There's the Lord up there, and then there's the servant down here, and they're forever separate, you know. And it some feels the deeper we go into each one of these, the more we see that this is one, yeah, whole. This is one whole. O cherished servants, I take account of your deeds only according to their subtle inner intentions, and it is according to these intentions that I will fully reward you. So this is an extremely important teaching of this tradition, of the intention, you know, and it actually, again, frees us from the outer level. Because this is a problem sometimes in the traditions, sometimes the ancient, you know, people get stuck, or this is part of what we call, you know, the limitedness of the tradition. We get stuck on the outer, whereas Allah is gazing at the heart, it says, and at the intention within the heart. So everything is based on intention. And if we fail on the outer, that's okay. You know, I remember reading years ago about a Navajo prayer that had to be recited exactly, and if it wasn't recited exactly, then, you know, or like the whole thing was invalid, or, I mean, you know, it could be anything, but that sense that it's not there, that's not it. Because then we become very superficial, in a sense, you know, where we become simply one-dimensional, but the intention brings us to the essence of who we are, because when we really look at intention, we realize that what we have as intention for ourselves is really Allah's intention for us, Allah's intention.
But I feel like, you know, separating inner order mm-hmm. from intention, mm-hmm. because intention is such a core level. Mm-hmm. If that intention is towards him, toward goodness, toward kindness, mm-hmm. other level, it falls.
It what?
It other level follows that.
Follows, right.
Because it's impossible to feel love inside and on the outside, unless one is acting to be mean to somebody.
Right. But we can fail, and we do fail continuously. By fail, let's say we fail constantly in relation, in you know, how can we ever be kind enough to someone, or take care, or be the best parent, or, you know, we're constantly failing. I mean, at least in my understanding.
Yeah, yeah. I mean,
and therefore, you know, on the outer level, that's what I mean. But I agree that the actions and the good, the fruit of the, follow the intention. The fruit of the actions follow the intention. I agree with that. But that's through Allah's own grace that makes that.
But what I'm saying is that it's intentioning. Mm-hmm. Not intention, but intentioning.
Right.
When I'm present to intentioning.
Right.
Then it's because I can't say I made intention 4 years ago, I'm done.
Oh, no, of course. It's moment by moment.
No, it's when I'm intentioning with awareness, because I am,
that's true.
Because I am in His presence.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And it's what I'm saying is wrong. I am in His presence because I'm implying that there are two reality there.
Right.
But because of language, I don't know how else to say it.
Mm.
But intentioning to be in His presence, that quality naturally rises from that. Just like when the candle is on,
mm-hmm.
the light, there is light.
True. Mm-hmm.
But if I cover the candle,
mm-hmm.
then there is no light.
Mm-hmm.
So
true.
In the moment, we are having the awareness of. That's why I say intentioning,
mm-hmm.
because it's like in a present with the presence,
mm-hmm.
and in that. It automatically follows
mm-hmm.
it.
Well,
but
take
other
this.
Level,
uh-huh.
My intention is to have some intentioning. Doesn't mean that, okay, I'm intentioning right now, somebody owes me 5,000 and I forget it. No, that's a different level. Maybe it needs to pay that.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a different level. But intentioning from core level, then naturally that intelligence,
mm-hmm.
without society value,
mm-hmm.
that psychic
mm-hmm.
value, without
mm-hmm.
all that,
mm-hmm.
naturally we shine.
Mm-hmm. True.
Just when in the afternoon, when there's no cloud, you see the sun and you feel the sun.
Mm-hmm. That's true. But even great saints, you know, make mistakes and ask forgiveness. And all I'm saying is that on the level of actions is the level where, you know, we can make mistakes and things.
But what I'm saying is that the whole thing, what I'm getting is that be a pen in His hand.
Right.
Be a pen in his hand. The most mistake would be that I feel that I am doing it.
Right. True. Uh-huh. Oh, my cherished servants, those who see goodness all around them are opening their entire being to the praise of Allah. Those who find other than the good can blame only themselves. So that's the seal of this hadith. Oh, my cherished servants, those who see goodness all around them are opening their entire being to the praise of Allah. So to see goodness, so here again is like a subtle request that we see goodness, that we educate ourselves or open ourselves to see goodness or open it, and this is a form of praise of Allah.
Or you might say, if you are one who is actually seeing, then you'll see that everything is in praise of Allah.
Yeah, uh-huh. All around the, or opening. That's true. Also, yeah, that's true too. Mm-hmm. Those who find other than the good can blame only themselves. So, mashallah. So there Allah is telling us that, you know, all is good. All is goodness. Alhamdulillah. Good. You know, Allah says don't be unjust. You know, so when we see injustice coming from someone is not good. It's not goodness. Injustice is not the same thing as goodness. But if we open ourselves, or if we are opened by Allah's into that embracing awareness, then we see that it all works together, you know,
mm-hmm.
to be part of the good. But Allah often points, in the Quran, it often points to the, you know, the akhirah, the future, the world, where everything will be made clear. So, you know, we can know, okay, well, there was a time when all of this, which seems like, you know, immense suffering and injustice, tragedies, all that will be clarified for us. And also, if our life just ended with this world, then, yeah, that would be total injustice. If we just died at the end of this world, you know, and then all those who suffer, then you could say, well, what about them? You know, they had a terrible life in this earth. But if we see the whole picture of that beings are eternal, that this is just a step on the way of eternity, and that step may be brought, you know, some vast blessings and opening that we just don't see it. But yeah, it's we cannot understand, because we don't have the mind to understand this kingdom or this creation. You know, because we can accept, though, and maybe we can go deeper and see deeper, see through. When we see something bad, we can see, well, maybe this will bring about good in another way. So,
But do you think that it's important to, like, seek justice in this life as well? Like, what do you, do you think that human beings should have opinions about, like, what's right or wrong?
Right.
For other people.
Yeah, and, I mean, you know. I think if there's justice and injustice, obviously we're called to understand what that is. Yeah, and so we're called to understand what that is. So, you know, mainly for ourselves, but also at a certain further level of our development to be able to help others, you know. Both not suffer injustice and not to inflict injustice, you know. So let's say any time there's someone who, let's say take Effendi or Noor, any of these great saints, beautiful beings, they, just by their very being, they would already eliminate an enormous amount of injustice. One, injustice of everyone to themselves, you know. You're unjust, or because the person is, we are our worst oppressors. So our worst place of oppression is ourself, you know, because we oppress ourselves by, you could say, separating ourselves from the truth and all the consequences of that. So, you know, that being of goodness, of light, just somehow moves people toward justice, toward truth, toward goodness, and then of course can inspire, you know, like a Saint Francis, you know, converted. I mean, many, you know, like a robber, famous story of the robber who stole the bread from them, from the little community, and Francis, when the monks woke up and they said, oh, someone came, that man who came to eat last night, well, he actually stole our loaf of bread. You know, loaves of bread in those days were probably like this big, you know. And so Francis said, oh, he said, well, take him this one. He gave him the last remaining loaf of bread. He said, take him this one too, go find him. And so the monk went and ran after until he found this other person who had come through to take their bread. And he said, Francis, you know, brings you this too, and says, take this too. At that point, that person just totally broke their, you know, all their pattern of an understanding just broke, and he totally turned, and he came back, and he became one of their foremost companions, you know. So that is an example of stopping injustice, you know, both in others, so of Francis, in others, toward others, and toward the self. Yeah.
But in a way, that's like not our idea of justice. Like, it's the opposite or something. Like,
why?
Or, I don't know, like, you always think, like, the way our judicial system works or something, if somebody does something wrong, then justice is, like, punishment for that, and that creates, like, a balance instead of, like, Uh-huh. And if you like are overly gentle, then instead of like doing something bad, you like love them more. Uh-huh. It's like this a completely different framework of what justice means, isn't it?
Yes, but you know that there's yes, but sometimes people need to be restrained. They need to be made accountable for their actions. Otherwise, they won't stop. So they're different. You know, I mean, an action can have consequences for their whole lifetime, but the fruits of it, let's say someone who kills someone will end in jail, go to jail, you know, and we met people like that in Portland, you know, because where we went into some of the jails, and their life can turn around in jail, and it might not have in the world. I mean, we don't know, but, you know, so that was clearly divine justice coming, but divine justice is very different from human justice. But it doesn't mean human justice has no place. You know, we have to apply it in the best way we can. A youth, for instance, who's been brought up in a broken family and goes out and robs to make money, this is normal. This is how they have been taught, right? So, of course, if you're a justice system, you know, a judge who understands that, who has compassion, then you know, if we had a better justice system, we'd send those kids somewhere to be educated, to be with people who are loving and kind, and totally different. You know, but every person is different, and every person requires or demands, really, from their own being, a different response. But obviously, our system of correction is very unbalanced and unfair. Yeah, so...
Well, I'm sure other people are thinking similarly, but it is the three holy months coming up, and maybe it's just an open question, but how could we, let's say, improve our service as a community, because you know, it's addressing the servant,
uh-huh.
and all of us are aspiring to be servants, but what Nina was bringing up, but that was very interesting because, you know, there is this very subtle duality between, let's say, ideas about justice and then Allah's statement about goodness. And I think people really get into some veils there.
Uh-huh.
And they struggle with that. It says, see goodness. You should see goodness.
See goodness, yeah.
Hypothetically, how am I going to do that if I'm very aware of limited society and war and
right.
That's what I see.
No, that's true.
If I don't do that, then I'm kind of insulting my own intelligence,
mm-hmm.
it seems like. Right?
Sure.
So maybe it goes back a little bit to what I think you said something very good some months ago. You're saying, well, if you want to change the world, change yourself.
Right.
So how do we do that? So maybe that's kind of an open question. Because it's moment to moment.
Right. No, but that's a very good question. Of course, this is a very good question. I mean, you know, people like, yeah, because it can't be facile, you know, and people like in the so-called Age of Enlightenment, people like Voltaire came along and started mocking the, you know, the clerical attitude that, oh, well, everything, this is a perfect world, you know, which, okay, we can say, but, you know, if it becomes like, you know, just a lullaby to put us to sleep, then, of course, that's not reflecting the depth of human inquiry and intelligence, what you're saying. So maybe that last statement is then therefore a real invitation to Tefekor to, you know, to contemplate. And maybe, you know, maybe it will only bring us to the point of just trusting that all is good, you know, even though we can't see it directly. So that's a kind of certain level of faith that if Allah is saying this, then we trust that this is all for the good. At least we can come to that place, you know. Maybe. But it also means we step in. May we see that the good one is behind all this and within all this, and that part of the goodness is actually our also stepping in and participating. So preventing, helping to prevent injustice, you know. Because human participation, we're not just, in a sense, like just observers in a certain sense, we're also participants. But it's a good question, Javier. And there, of course, there's, you know, it's not like we can answer it. One has to answer it with one's life. That's the answer. Really, it's one's life, how we commit ourselves.
In particular,
what?
In particular, I'm also thinking that, you know, the beautiful thing that we do here together is the zikr.
Right.
And we're saying, livelihood, blah, blah, blah. And isn't that a service? And isn't that doing justice? And isn't that goodness?
Yes. Yes. Absolutely. And that's a very beautiful point.
Even though we do it, we forget that, I think.
If we what?
Well, if we leave the zikr and then we start talking about, I've been thinking about many dervishes over the years. Well, they get caught up into these kind of crusade about justice.
Oh, I see, crusade,
really,
yeah.
Usually it's not really about justice, it's something to do with the nefs.
Right, that's true. That's true, yeah.
And it might sound like, you know, I'm criticizing the limited religion or the limited society or the limited family or something, but really it's just the nefs.
Really, yeah. It's one's own self-conflict, inner conflict.
Yeah.
Yeah, that then wants to project out onto something. That's true. Yeah, but you're right. That's a beautiful example. You know, people gathering together to offer prayer or zikr, or that's
so
justice.
My next question
what?
My next question is, you know, thinking in terms of something that's very hard to think about, you know, the pier and everything that the pier represents. And so what is our service?
Mm-hmm.
How should we be kind of thinking?
How should we be thinking of serving the peer, you're saying?
Well, of the tarika itself.
Serving the tarika.
And coming all through the months of Ramadan.
Mm-hmm.
What's
true.
What's the potential that's there?
Well, we serve Allah also, absolutely, by serving each other and definitely serving the tariqah by coming to zikr, coming to mesh, you know, participating, you know, that's what it says, the ma'un, you know, the small deeds of kindness are a very, they're like a, you know, like a little litmus test or of where we are spiritually. So, but yes, absolutely, serving the peer, you know, giving back what we receive also to others and to other dervish sisters and brothers by coming. Because what can happen also is that at a certain point, you know, we reach a level of satisfaction in ourself. We come usually in conflict and then we reach a place of satisfaction, and that can be a time where we just drift off, you know, we're okay, we're, you know, well, I'm going to go do something else and this and that, and that's actually a time when we can really serve if we're more at peace, and then we can come and serve other dervishes and serve other beings and serve the zikr. Yeah. One of the ways of serving what really Noor called the principle of the Sheikh, which, as you say, it's that line which is ultimately Allah. It's just like a practice almost that we serve, you know, that we are on the human level, but that we become more conscious of each other and more conscious of ourself and more tender and more present. Yes, that's very much part of our path, you know. It's not just, you know, having great inner realizations or, Because as if we really have them, if we really experience that presence in those different dimensions, then it's as it says, our skin starts making zikr. We become into zikr, and then we will be more receptive and kind and to each other. And that I ask, you know, that dervishes, that we have a consciousness of the community. Because you're absolutely right. When we become, and we all have our moments and, you know, our different states, but it does, it affects us all. Here we
go. Oh, my cherished servants, Muhammad the Messenger, may Allah bless him and grant him peace, once transmitted these words directly from the Most High. Oh, my cherished servants, as I have made injustice unlawful for me, so I have made it unlawful for you. Be not unjust. Oh, my cherished servants, all of you are wandering astray, except the ones whom I have guided. Ask me to guide, and I will guide you. O cherished servants, all of you are hungry, except those whom I have fed. Ask me to feed you, and I will feed you. O cherished servants, all of you are naked, except those whom I have clothed. Ask me to clothe you, and I will clothe you. O servants, indeed you are erring night and day, yet I forgive all offenses. Ask me to forgive, and I will forgive you. O servants, although you may think you are doing harm to me through your negative actions, no harm can reach me. Although you may imagine you are benefiting me through your good deeds, these acts of yours cannot add the least particle of goodness to my own overflowing goodness. O servants, even if the entire spectrum of intelligent beings, from the first of you to the last of you, from human beings to beings on subtle planes, possessed the heart of the most evolved ones among you, this would add nothing to my kingdom. O servants, even if all intelligent beings, from first to last, possessed the heart of the most rebellious ones among you, this would take away nothing from my kingdom. O servants, if all intelligent beings, visible and invisible, gathered together and demanded their most sublime wishes from me, and I granted every one of them, this would in no way diminish the treasures that are with me, any more than a needle dipped in the ocean would decrease the ocean. O cherished servants, I take account of your deeds only according to their subtle inner intentions, and it is according to these intentions that I will fully reward you. O my cherished servants, those who see goodness all around them are opening their entire being to the praise of Allah. Those who find other than the good can blame only themselves.
Alhamdulillah. But it's very true that it's the good in yourself, that we become the good, because that's what we will see. Then, because we see through our own being. I mean, as you read that last line, that's what all around them is really first here in ourselves that we see the good.